Sky Sports Radio. It's time for Going Greyhounds. With all the news from kennels and courses around the country, here's Mark Duclos.
And it's 28 to 11. Morning, Duke.
Good morning to you, Cozzy. Welcome along to Going Greyhounds. This 29th day of August 2016, a massive show coming up. We will speak shortly with Katrina Hodgkinson, the National Party MP, who crossed the floor in the vote last week for legislation to be passed for the banning of greyhound racing in New South Wales. She's since been dumped as a parliamentary secretary, and we'll speak to her more about that. We'll speak with Brad Adam from the Richmond Races, Richmond Greyhound Club, I should say, in regards to the future of the club and also the puppy auction that was due to be held in November this year. We had a big night at Angle Park on Saturday evening. We'll speak with Group 1 Jerry O'Keefe, who prepared Ring the Bell to take out the National Distance Championship for Victoria. And we'll also speak with Michael Floyd from the Sandown Park Greyhound Club. We've got the Speedstar series coming up this Thursday night. Absolute crackerjack of a field, headed up by Zambora Brocky, who finished second behind Wormburner in the Group 1 National Sprint Championship on Saturday evening. The Group 2 Blacktop was run at the Gardens on Friday evening, taken out by Pantera Nera, trained by Gavin Burke. The Cranbourne Classic also on Friday night. It was won by Bossinet for James Karamatic. And on Saturday evening, Chris House prepared Times Square to finish third behind Wormburner and Zambora Brocky in the Group 1 National Sprint. And most trainers would be happy with that feat. Not Chris. He prepared seven of the first eight winners at Mandurah on Saturday evening, a new record over there. As I said, it was a big weekend in Adelaide. We not only had the national championships, but we also had the AGRA Award, the Australian Greyhound Racing Association Awards. We'll have all the news of that on the Catching Pen tomorrow night. The Trainer of the Year went to Anthony Azzopardi. The Greyhound of the Year was Dinah Double One. And Paul Wheeler was inducted into the Hall of Fame, which I know would please our next guest on Going Greyhounds, as Paul Wheeler is a constituent of her electorate. And I speak of Nationals MP Katrina Hodgkinson. Good morning, Katrina.
Good morning, Mark.
Look, the ban went through. It went through in the early hours of last Wednesday morning after a marathon debate. Luke Foley, the opposition leader, spoke for 2 hours and 10 minutes. The vote went 49-30. A number of the Baird government MPs came out and said they didn't like the ban, but they would still support it. Two members of the Baird government abstained from voting, which is irrelevant. But three members, Kevin Humphreys, Chris Galuptas, and yourself, crossed the floor and voted against the ban. And I imagine for you that must have been some sort of torment, but for you, you were fervent in your belief that the ban was wrong.
Yeah, look, it absolutely was a torment. The whole week was just a nightmare, I've got to say. It was horrendous having to be put in that position of having to speak against legislation. And then for the first time in 17 years, I felt I had no choice but to cross the floor. I couldn't support it. I couldn't even abstain from it. I had to actively oppose it. And, you know, I would never vote with Labor. I'm not a Labor person. I'm a National Party person, I'm a country girl, and I've grown up on a farm, and I believe in rural life and supporting our rural industries. But I just could not, I could not do anything I felt but cross the floor on that. And I would do it all again today, but it was an awful position to be put in, Mark, you're right.
What's the feedback been from your constituents as far as you crossing the floor and voting against Mike Baird and Troy Grant?
You know, I have not had one negative comment about that. Everybody has been extraordinarily supportive. I've had some really beautiful messages come through from some quite unlikely sources and some from some old friends as well. So if I may, through your wonderful show, publicly thank them for that support at a time when I needed a bit of propping up, so thank you very much. But it's certainly been, it's been a rough week, it's been a rough month, rough couple of months actually since the ban was announced. I just can't stop thinking, Mark, of all of those wonderful people who are so passionate about their animals or who are tied up in the industry in some other way, and they're hurt and distressed over this.
Yeah, and I think it's prudent that we point out it wasn't as if you jumped on the bandwagon late in the proceedings as far as the ban was concerned. We spoke to you just a couple of days after that July 7th announcement by Mike Baird that he would ban the industry off the back of what will be a report that will be proven to show a number of inaccuracies, a flawed report prepared by former High Court Judge Michael McHugh. But Mike Baird and Troy Grant continue to refuse to acknowledge that there are any flaws in the report. Was that a major part of the process for you as far as going against the ban, as well as your own personal belief that it was just plain wrong?
No, it wasn't. Look, there are obviously flaws in the report, and they've been well documented. But the report also puts forward a roadmap for the industry, and makes some very sensible suggestions. I've heard it argued that you can't change culture, but I believe the opposite is true. I think that culture can be changed in any organisation, and to just give up and say, no, it's too hard, we're not going to do it, we're just going to ban something, is just I think it's just poor policy, full stop. There is a way forward for the industry, obviously. Not everybody is involved in live baiting by any stretch of the imagination, just small proportion, and we need to change the culture in those areas where it is still occurring, and examples need to be made of those people that are still undertaking poor practice, because they know better now. They know that they shouldn't be doing it, and say that they wouldn't know, especially after the publicity we've had. There have been a few prosecutions, and that's that's all well and good, but really, there is a way forward for this industry, and I don't believe that it should just be shut down. I can't imagine another industry that would have been treated this way.
No.
But the other thing, Mark, from my constituency's point of view, the electorate of Cootamundra, which is large, 35,000 square kilometres, we contribute greatly towards feeding this nation. And, I just really hate to think that someday in the future a precedent is going, well, this is going to be used as a precedent to perhaps attack piggeries, poultry farms, and those sorts of intensive farming activities, which we need. But, to keep our supermarkets supplied. So there are some really, really strong implications as a result of this legislation going through.
You have been supported in the media by a number of people, a number of politicians on both sides of parties. You are, of course, part of the Baird government, which is a Liberal Conservative government, which believes in the freedom of speech as far as being a state member is concerned. Following you crossing the floor, Katrina, the Nationals leader for New South Wales, Troy Grant, came out and said he was proud of the MPs across the floor for standing up for what they believed in. The next day you found out via a media release that you'd been dumped as a parliamentary secretary. How did that feel?
Oh, look, I went into that with my eyes wide open. I fully expected that result to occur. There was a lot of harassment last week by various sods and sods, I expected that result. So it wasn't a great surprise. I had a bit of a laugh that it came out by media release.
It is the preferred way for the government now to do it. Mike Baird, of course, made the announcement of the ban via Facebook.
Well, I got an email on that one as well. But it's not about me, and it doesn't matter what the repercussions are for me. The important thing is those people, those thousands of people who are in regional New South Wales who are going to be really, really suffering as a result of this banning of the entire industry. And they're the ones that I'm thinking of, and I'm going to have to try and find ways to support them. So that's where I'm at the moment.
Are you able to shed any light on what a possible compensation package would be? Because they came out last week, the government, and said that within 3 months they'll be able to let people know what the compensation package is. For me, there are a lot of people here whose lives are in the balance, Katrina, and they still get no clear direction as to what, if any, compensation they'll receive.
Well, my understanding is that compensation is the wrong word to be using there, Mark. It's a financial assistance package, which is being sorted through by the Natural Resources Commissioner, John Kennery, at the moment. He is out in various communities trying to meet with people who are involved with the industry, who might have invested significant funds into their infrastructure on their farms, for breeding or training or whatever, and trying to work through a financial package at the moment. But I haven't had any update since that announcement was made a few weeks ago.
It is a tough time. I mean, it's a tough time for, you know, for people in rural and regional New South Wales and Australia, for that matter. But there is, it's not just about the greyhound people as well, Katrina. There is a flow-on effect to so many industries throughout rural New South Wales. And as I say, a lot of these people are doing it tough. The banning of the greyhound industry will just exacerbate the problems that they're facing at the moment.
Look, absolutely, absolutely right. And, you know, I was Primary Industries Minister for 4 years in the New South Wales government from 2011 to 2015, and constantly fighting off pushes from animal activists in many different arenas, you know, whether they're setting up the secret cameras inside all sorts of intensive animal activities and threatening those farms with biosecurity issues. You don't know, you know, when you're going into an intensive animal arena, you'd normally have to disinfect your shoes and your hands and use a hairnet. But when people are placing secret cameras inside of these various intensive industries, we don't know where they've been beforehand. So they really are risking biosecurity for those animals, for those farms. And if this is used, if the banning of the greyhound racing industry due to animal welfare issues is used as a precedent in some of these other industries, then you know, what are we going to do about our food supply? I mean, it's just, it has to stop. You just can't go on doing these sorts of things. And you've got to listen to the MPs and listen to the people. It's just poor policy.
Yeah, spoken like a true National Party member there as far as, you know, sustainability is concerned. And it comes down to that the animals do sustain out. They're responsible for the food that we eat, the clothes that we wear. But in this instance, animals are being put in front of humans. No one condones animal cruelty. But, you know, think of the impact that it will have on so many thousands of people, not just in New South Wales, but around Australia.
Yeah, absolutely, and that is important. I mean, you don't put, when you grow up on a farm, you learn at a very early age not to put human qualities onto animals, because we need them. I mean, growing up in the country, we're surrounded by animals. We use them for all sorts of purposes, and you know, you've got the kelpies to round up the sheep. You've got, you know, the sheep that go to market, and you get your wool off the back of it, and all of these wonderful animals that we use to you know, in our daily lives, as you rightly say. We've got some wonderful farmers who are doing a magnificent job in feeding and clothing our nation and beyond. And we want to make sure that they're well and truly supported well into the future. Well, that's my mission anyway.
And kangaroo culling will become very, very prevalent, or the issue about kangaroo culling will become so much to the fore in the next couple of years if this ban does continue to go through, because that supply of kangaroo meat to greyhound trainers all around Australia is a major part of that industry. And if there is no way for that meat to be disposed of, you know, people aren't going to be going out and culling roos, which is then going to be an onflow problem for farmers as well.
Yeah, growing crops to feed the kangaroos. It's just so... You're right. There are so many repercussions as a result of this that it's difficult to fathom why it's gone through.
Katrina, I can tell you that so many people in the greyhound industry are thankful for you and thankful for your support that you've shown the industry since day one. It's not as if you've just jumped on the bandwagon, as I said earlier. You've supported the industry. You've supported as far as being against the ban is concerned. And as said, so many people in the greyhound industry, I know they've asked me to pass on their thanks to you.
No, thanks very much, Mark. Look, I'm just as shattered as they are at the moment. I feel absolutely shattered by it. And anyway, we've got to pick ourselves up and keep moving, and it's all up from here, I suppose.
Yep, and we will keep on fighting. Katrina Hodgkinson, Nationals MP, thank you very much for joining us on Going Greyhounds.
All the best.
Well, as I said, it's a situation. I read in the paper the other day where they said that Mike Baird will probably never, ever ban anything else again. Let's hope he reverses his ban on greyhound racing. It's hard to see it happening. But if he takes any notice of the latest news polls, he may have a second thought about it. Seven News on Friday night had the latest news poll out as far as the preferred premier is concerned. And if you go back maybe 6 months or 8 months ago, Mike Baird was sitting at around 60-65% popularity poll as far as the preferred premier is concerned. Well, I've got news for Mike Baird. Luke Foley, according to the Channel 7 News poll, is now the preferred premier at around about 51.5%. Mike Baird is down to 47%. Not just off the back of the Greyhound ban. We've got council amalgamations, WestConnex, the lockout laws, just goes on and on. That next election can't come soon enough. Okay, joining us now of Ongoing Greyhounds is Brad Adam from the Richmond Race Club. Morning, Bradley.
Good morning, Mark.
You just heard Katrina speak, and as I say, she was one of the MPs that crossed the floor. What's this impact mean on the Richmond Race Club, and what impact will the ban have as far as your employees are concerned, firstly?
Yeah, look, and firstly, Mark, I just want to echo your words to Katrina about the support that she and several other nationals have shown the industry. We're very thankful, and our participants, our stakeholders, people like Katrina and Kevin Humphreys, they've shown a light to these people, at least, that there are people out there fighting for them. So we thank them very, very much for that. As for our club and our employees, I suppose, Mark, when the legislation went through last week, it was the realisation that that it's actually happening. I think up until then, everybody had had probably the opinion that this was such a ridiculous passage that was going to go through that it couldn't actually go through. And I suppose when the legislation did get passed, the realisation hit. And so around the club and participants, and I have been speaking to everybody around the state, and it's just one of probably that just disappointment that it has actually gone through, and now the realisation has set in.
How much of an impact, does it say, as far as your employees are concerned? You have a number of full-time employees, but you also employ a number of part-time employees supplementing their income by working 1 or 2 days a week at the club, Brad. Have you spoken to them, and how's it affected them personally?
Yeah, look, Mark, last week, Wednesday actually, was our first race meeting after the legislation was passed in the early hours of the morning. And so we held a staff meeting before our race meeting got underway. And I suppose everybody was very somber. And they were just looking to see whether there was some sort of hope still left. And I suppose from our point of view, there is. We are going to challenge the viability of the report, and we are going to challenge the viability of the legislation. Now, what does that mean for us? Look, we still don't know. And I suppose our message to to my staff was to still hang in there. We are still fighting this. I suppose 6 weeks ago when Mike Baird stood up and announced the banning of the industry, I suppose we knew back then that he had the numbers and that we would end up in court. And today I say the same, you know, he had the numbers and we will end up in court. So we're still going to fight it. And our message to my staff and my membership is that, you know, we've still got to just hang in there. You know, and we're going to fight this as best we possibly can. And this week, Mark, we'll hopefully get a final report from our legal team headed up by David Bennett QC. And from that we'll get a very good gauge on how we're going to actually challenge the legislation and, of course, how we're going to challenge this report that all these ridiculous commercials have been based on. And what the Premier stood up. And they hit us over the head with the report all throughout the debate. And so we're definitely going to chase the report and get the report thrown out.
I want to talk about the Richmond Riches Puppy Auction. We go back to November 2014, an enormous success, absolutely enormous success. That was the day I was interviewed by Cara Meldrum-Henner, who came to Richmond that day to tell me that she was doing a story on how well greyhound racing was going along. And 3 months later, we find out that it was part of the basis of the Four Corners expose into live baiting. We turned over, I think, on that day about $1.4 million, as said. Sensational success. Fast forward 2015, November there, not as big a success, but still, you know, in terms of all other auctions around Australia, still a great success. We've had the first of the Richmond Riches Puppy Auction Series held this year, which 30 talks took out. Brad, obviously the auction that was planned for November 2016 will not go ahead.
Yeah, no, that is correct, Mark. This year's option is now officially off the table. We were holding out hope up until the legislation was passed. I was still holding out hope and still had some planning in the works, but now, unfortunately, now yes, the option is off this year. Our first option series just was completed on Friday, just gone, with Tommy the Weapon taking out the 600 series. So that was all three races done and won. And it was. It was a great success. Huge support from the industry with the first auction, and even the second auction, as you mentioned, in the light and the time that the auction was run, we still raised over $850,000 in sales, which was a huge effort considering it was in the middle of what the industry was going through.
And so, how much uncertainty there was in the industry.
Correct, Mark. And people were still obviously very hopeful that the outcome of the report would have been one that was firm, but also one that was fair. And unfortunately, that's not what has happened now. But look, going forward, Mark, there is a call now. We are still going to run our next year's race series. So that means any puppies that were purchased in the 2015 auction series, you have actually until the end of this month, so till Wednesday, to nominate your greyhound for next year's race series. So that'll be over $145,000 in prize money. So for those ones that still haven't nominated and are still unsure, that race series will go ahead.
That's for the 535 metre series, Brad. So we've had the 400 and the 618 run post July 1st this year. Obviously, that won't happen next year. When will those two series be run?
Mark, look, I'm going to actually sit down now with our board and we will discuss when those two races will be run. Look, ideally, we will probably change the format around to suit everybody, which may mean the 400 series will run first, leading into the 500 series. But that's yet to be decided, but it'll be something along those lines, Mark, where we will move the races around so that anybody that nominates their greyhound that was purchased in last year's auction will get the opportunity to race.
Yeah. Well, Brad, all we can do is sit and hope. Let's hope that the legal challenge that's being headed up by the former Solicitor General, David Bennett, QC, is successful. Let's hope that it's proved in a court of law that the report is flawed, and let's hope that there is some light at the end of the tunnel and that's not a train coming through.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Mark. And just to everybody that's, you know, our employees, our participants, is that the fight will continue and let's see if we can get this reversed and overturned.
Thanks for joining us, mate.
Thank you, Mark.
Brad Adam there from the Richmond Race Club with an update as far as the ban is concerned and how it affects the Richmond Race Club. Well, I can tell you the ambitions of some trainers, they do differ. Some just like to win a race. It doesn't matter whether it's at Canamble or whether it's at Taree or whether it's at the Gardens or Wentworth Park. Others strive to win at the highest level. Not everyone is able to do that. But one man who's had a great 2016 is Gerry O'Keefe, who prepared the winner of the Group 1 National Distance Final at Angle Park on Saturday evening. Gerry O'Keefe, good morning and welcome to Going Greyhounds.
Good morning, Mark.
You have had a super year. Let's go back to the Group 1 Sandown Cup. Bells Are Ringing wins that. Fast forward to Angle Park on Saturday evening. Bells Are Ringing. She's on the support card at Angle Park. She wins a race over the 731 metres. And then a couple of races later, the little brother stands up and does what you always thought he had the ability to do and turns in a terrific performance to win the Group 1 national distance. And I know it gave you an enormous thrill because I spoke with you after the race. How's it been in that 48 hours since? And how many times have you watched that replay?
Oh, I've watched the replay till the end of the earth. It was a fabulous night. I thought the atmosphere at Angle Park, Mark, was everything that we love about greyhound racing.
Yeah, you're right. It was a good night, wasn't it, mate?
It was really fantastic. The people from South Australia hate Victorians, as they should. But the Nationals, Mark, always appear to me to be one of the pinnacles of the greyhound racing calendar. In horse racing, they've got, you know, VRC. You know, down in Victoria, we've got our Spring Carnival, and you've got your championships up there, and trotting's got the Indian Dominion, and all forms of racing and sport have got their pinnacle. And for me, the National Sprint Championship and the National Distance Championship are the pinnacle of greyhound racing in Australia. And it's really sad, Mark, that next year, And these nationals, just the championships have been going for 50 years. Next year, unless things change, it won't be a national championship because New South Wales won't be there.
Yep, and it was first running 1965 as far as the sprint is concerned. New South Wales won that. In 1969, the national distance kicked off where Amerigo Lady won that, also for New South Wales. As you say, it'll be a very, very sad day if it does come to fruition as far as the ban is concerned. But you're right, Jerry, you know, it doesn't carry the big prize money. When I say that, we've got races like the Melbourne Cup, the Top Gun, the Australian Cup, the Golden Eastery. They're all races that are, you know, $150,000 and more. The Nationals are $75,000, and let me tell you, no one sneezes at that, but it's more the prestige of saying you beat the best from all over Australia.
Exactly right, Mark. You look at the list of sprint winners. Of course, Fernando Bale, and you go right back to Princess Kerry. Fantastic dogs, every one of them. But the pride of each state, the roar that went up, the pride that the South Australians having in running second and third behind our Victorian dog, and they were very generous in their praise and very generous in their support. But the roar that went up from that crowd of 1,500 would have been not out of place at any Melbourne Cup. Horse racing or greyhound racing, it was a fabulous night with fabulous atmosphere and epitomised everything that's great about greyhound racing.
Certainly was. We've spoken to you before on Going Greyhounds, and we know that your career took a backward step to bringing up your family and going, you know, through your working life. And, a couple of years ago you finished that. You said you weren't a golfer. You needed to train a couple of dogs again and Jerry, a couple of years later, you find yourself not just as a trainer who's prepared one Group 1 winner, but I've now nicknamed you Group 1, Jerry, because you are a dual Group 1 winning trainer. How does that feel, mate, and what sort of excitement has that brought to the family?
Tremendous excitement, Mark. I was particularly proud that that Ring the Bell was able to win his Group 1, and if he can win other prestige races, that'd be great. But there was a great sense of fairness for that particular dog that he was able to do his best on Saturday night. Little Bells Are Ringing, who won the Sandown Cup, that was a 50-1. That was right out of the blue. No expectations, just pure adrenaline and pure excitement. But I had hopes. Well, he started favourite on Saturday night. And my co-trainer, Kelvin Jones, tipped in heavily onto him, so anyone who has he's got plenty at the moment. And it was fair for the dog, Mark. It was a top field. The other interstate trainers were fantastic people to speak to. I spoke to Rusty Dillon from Queensland, really fabulous fella, and met David Hobby and met a number of other people who I've not met before. Great night. Delighted for Ring the Bell that he achieved his potential, and that's all we can ever ask in life.
Yeah, the camaraderie is amongst whether it's greyhound owners or trainers is absolutely sensational. Jerry, as I mentioned, Ring the Bell wins the Group 1 National Distance Championship on Saturday night. Bells Are Ringing wins on the support card. Is that your greatest night in greyhound racing?
Yes, by far. Yes, Sandown Cup was more money, but the money doesn't mean money. Mark, I'm 64. The money's terrific. But we gave most of that away to the family anyway. It's the prestige.
You want to adopt someone? You want to have a younger brother or son?
Thank you, Mark. It's the prestige. It's the excitement for the sport. It was the atmosphere that was there, and it was, Mark, going onto that list of national distance championship winners means more to me than anything.
Oh, well done and well said, mate. And I said to you on Saturday night, I love it when I see you winning races. I just think you're so good for the sport in the way that you're always so positive. You're always up for a chat. And as I say, it is what makes greyhound racing so great. So best of luck. Continue on with your great form as a Group 1 winning trainer, Jerry O'Keefe, and we'll see you down in Victoria shortly.
As you know, Mark, and having spoken to you on Saturday, I'm a great man for radio. Pass on the visual medium. Prefer to do the audio. Well, thank you.
Jerry O'Keefe there, and from one Victorian to another, Michael Floyd from the Sandown Park Greyhound Club joins us now on Going Greyhounds. Morning, Mick.
G'day, Duke. And I think I am a long-lost relationship.
There's a number of people that will now be putting a claim in. Well, he got 75 for Saturday. If he split up the Sandown Cup, which was 150, surely Jerry can find it in his heart to adopt a couple of young fellas like you and I and share that wealth.
I'm sure. I'll have to have a chat to him. He was, oh, he's got a place to stand there, a couple of bit higher than that. It might be a little bit parochial there, but no, he's going great. Group one, Jerry, I like it. He's a fantastic fella and well-deserved the success he's having at the moment.
Certainly is. Now, listen, the Speedstar Series gets back into action this Thursday night at Sandown Park. We've got four absolute crackers of match races. In the first match race, Polyjuice Potion takes on Alan Terminator. Match race two, Jezalenko takes on Shimmer Song. In the third match race, Zambora Brocky ran second behind Worm Burner in the Group 1 National Sprint on Saturday evening. He heads back to Sandown Park. He takes on Dinah Boomer. And in the last of the match races, Dundee Osprey, which finished fourth on Saturday evening, it takes on Burn One Down, who flew around Sandown Park in a trial yesterday to race his way into the field. Tab.com.au, the overall winner, Mick, has Zambora Brocky at $2.30. Again, you must be ecstatic with the quality of greyhound.
Oh, no doubt at all. And the way it's fallen with the box draw as well, of course, it was completely random the way the box draw is sorted, and therefore the matches are sorted. So it's worked out really, really well. We're really excited about the whole series, but particularly this Thursday, I think it's going to be some spectacular racing.
Yep, in the head-to-head markets, Alan Terminator is 150 to beat Polyjuice Potion, the second of the heats, and it's equal favourites, $1.90 each of two, Jezalenko and Shimmer Song. Zambora Brocky is the shortest of the match race favourites on Thursday evening. He's $1.35 to beat Dinah Boomer. And in the last of the heats, Burn One Down at $1.80 and Dundee Osprey at $2. Now, the Sandown race schedule, it continues this week for the last week as far as the early starts are concerned. So we've got a 6 o'clock start on Thursday evening.
We do, yes. It's been very popular, but unfortunately this will be the last one at 6 o'clock start. The Speedstar will be race 6, so it actually kicks off about 7:45, and the matches will be run every 10 minutes or so from there on. So it does happen very quickly, but with the Speedstar being race 6, of course the quaddie is going to be pushed back to race 7, so just keep that in mind when you're placing your quaddies on Thursday night.
Yep, races 7, 8, 9 and 10, the quaddie at Sandown Park. Now, as I said, we've got an early start, 6 p.m, but we've got an enhanced coverage on Sky Racing 2 on Thursday evening, where we'll encompass all of the four match races there. We'll have speed maps. We've got sectional times or projected sectional times, and there are a stack of markets available as well, Mick.
Absolutely, and that's one of the great parts about the series, the different betting options. If they're not up already, they should be up shortly. Fastest first split, whether more inside boxes or outside boxes. Of course, the even-numbered dogs will be running from box number 3, the outside, with the odd-numbered greyhounds jumping from box 1 on the inside. Markets on whether the track record will be broken, a whole bunch of different things. Jump on tab.com.au for the latest there.
Yep. Promises to be a great night. Looking forward to get down there. I'll see you Thursday.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to seeing you there.
Michael Floyd there from Sandown Park. And, Cozzy, that wraps up a big Going Greyhounds.
Certainly was.
It just keeps going on and on and on.
It does. It's like Blue Hills, isn't it?
Don't forget, tomorrow night on The Catching Pen, we will, as I say, review the Group 1 Nationals. We'll also take a look at the Speedstar Series and give you our thoughts on who will win that.
Right. Good on you, Duke. Have a good week.
Thanks, Cozzy.